to believe.
Welcome to the podcast, Life to the Full, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
Where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, ladies. Well, since I shared my last podcast with you, my husband and I have been on a wonderful trip to Scotland. We were so blessed. Actually, it was Serene and Sam who were going on a trip to celebrate their 26th wedding anniversary. And anyway, Alison and Daniel Hartman, who put on the Above Rubies family retreats for us down in Florida, they heard about it and they said to Serene and Sam, well, you're not going without us, we're coming too. Sam and Serene and Daniel and Alison are very special friends, and of course now their children are marrying into the family. Cedar, Serene and Sam's son, is married to Hallie, their daughter, and they are expecting a little baby very, very soon. And now their other son, Vision, is engaged to another of their daughters, Eden. So they are really getting tied up together. But then they decided that they would bless Colin and I and take us with them and even pay our trip. So we felt so blessed. It was an amazing time. Great time to go back and check out our heritage. A couple of years ago, our son, for Christmas, got our DNA checked out. And both Colin and I, were exactly quarter English, Ireland, Wales and Scotland. We are very, very UK. And we thought when we went back, we'll be able to check out some of the Campbell castles. We had been to Scotland many times before with ministry, and haven't really gone on a holiday, but we've had opportunity to see a few things. And we had been to Castle Campbell a number of times. This was the summer castle of the Campbells, but we had never ever been to the main castle out in Argyll near the west coast. So this time we were able to do it. It was so great. Actually, the 14th Earl of Argyll, this guy Campbell, he and his wife and family currently live in and own the castle. They are the direct descendants of the first owners of the castle, and they live in one private part, but the rest is open to the public. Before we went, my sister-in-law, Colin's sister, said, hey, you've got to check out Auntie Anne's picture on the wall. And because we actually come from the Argyll Campbells, there was a reunion of these Campbells in New Zealand, down in the city of Dunedin. And Colin's auntie went to that, and she was pictured with all the others. And this picture is on the wall in one of the towers of the castle. So we actually found the picture, and I found the photograph of Auntie Anne in the picture. So we felt quite great that our family is actually pictured in this castle. And then we stayed in lots of other wonderful places. Sam had booked us in a different place every single night for 2 weeks. So we would cart our cases in the evening, and then we would cart them out in the morning. And he wanted to stay in a castle, so we stayed in what was called Stonefield Castle. And when we got there, we actually found that that was originally owned by the Campbells also. And then we stayed in another place that was like a castle, and it was originally owned by the Campbells. So that was rather fun. But one of the most incredible things that we were able to do, and something Colin and I have longed to do for so many years. We have read over the years about the wonderful revival that took place in the Hebrides of Scotland. That's the outer islands of Scotland. And we were able to go to the Isle of Lewis, one of the outer islands, where the revival of 1949 to 53 actually started. And so it was just such a blessing. Now, as I said, Sam had booked us in at one place every night. So he, not knowing anything about Scotland, in fact, he didn't know a thing about Scotland, and yet he organized this most amazing tour. It turned out incredible. He didn't realize what would be entailed in us getting out to the island. And we were so late in booking, we couldn't even get our car on. So we went over on the ferry, 3-hour trip on the ferry, and landed there on foot. So here we are. We have no car, and we don't know where actually this revival started. How are we going to find it? We've got one night and have to be back on the ferry the next day at 1 o'clock. How are we going to do it? Well, we thought, what can we do? We couldn't even get a hire car. Well, let's just get on the public bus. So we get on the public bus and drive up to the north of the island, and then we just drive back. And we stop about halfway where the Airbnb is, where we'll stay the night. So next morning, we get up and get out onto the road, waiting for the public bus to come past, and on we hop. And we go on it until we think this is about where this church would be, where the revival started, in a little village of Barvis. Well, we got out, and yes, we could see the church. I had my book, which is called The Sounds of Revival. It's worth getting and reading if you can get it. And there was the picture of the church, and there was the church. Wow, we've found it. How wonderful. So we walked over, but it was shut. So we thought, okay, we'll go to the little house behind, obviously the manse, and we asked the lady if she would mind letting us go in. So she was kind enough to do this, and we were able to go in and kneel down and pray for revival to come to Scotland again, for revival on our own lives, and for revival here in the USA. It was such a wonderful time, and we were so blessed to do that. And having read the book and read of how wondrously God came down, it was a revival that was nothing of man. It was only God. And even when people began to cry out in repentance, because it was a revival of repentance and people becoming aware of their sin, they didn't even counsel the people. They never had any appeals. They just left them with God, that God would come through and they would be gloriously saved. And then they would not want to go to bed. They just want to get more and more of God. And so they would have a meeting every night, but that wasn't enough. Then after the meeting was over, they'd go to a home, and there they would pray and fellowship and receive more of the Word of God. And then when that was ended, that was not enough. And they'd go to another home, and they'd be up all night. Sometimes they'd get home, back to their homes at 4 in the morning, even later, have breakfast and go out to work. And the miraculous thing was that no one got tired. It was just a miraculous move of the Holy Spirit. They were so just under the presence and awesomeness of God that no one even got tired. And so it was just so special to go to that place. We were very, very blessed. Scotland was once known as the land of the book. That means it was the land of the Bible. But unfortunately, that is no longer so. It has become a very woke and liberal country. We were amazed that going, you know, around all these places, we saw so few babies and children. The number of children per family in Scotland is only 1.5. Well, we're only 1.8 or 9 here in USA, so we're not much better. But it's getting pretty low. In fact, I read the statistics that in the last few years, there have been more people die each year than there have been born. And so that's a sad state of affairs for a nation, and they certainly need a mighty another revival, as we all do, don't we? Anyway, let's get back to our series. We are talking about God Loves Togethering. We're up to part 3, and this is podcast 273. Dear ladies, I hope that as I share these podcasts with you on this subject, that you can really get a feel of how God feels. You see, we can only feel like God feels. We can only begin to think like God thinks when we read his word. That's why we have to be word people. We've got to have his word filling our hearts. And I am so amazed as I read the word to see how much God speaks about togethering. And I think I told you on podcast 271 that I found 12 different Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are all to do with togethering and assembling. But since then, I've actually found 2 more. So now I've found 14 different Hebrew words to describe how God loves the assembling of his people and the gathering of his people and the fellowship of his people and the words of assembly, congregation, convocation, together, gathering, fellowship. Oh, they don't occur just a few times. They occur over and over and over again. And then we go to the New Testament and we continue to read the words gathering and together and assembly and church. Yes, the word church. Now, when you say the word church, sometimes you think of a building. Yes, a church is where we go to meet together in a building. But as we know, the church is God's people. And the word church in the New Testament occurs 120 times. And it is the Greek word ekklesia. And it literally means a gathering of people called out from their homes into a public place, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting, a calling out, a religious congregation, which can be a Jewish synagogue or a Christian community. You can also talk about saints in heaven too. So this is ecclesia, and it means just calling out, a gathering of people coming together. Now, it actually means to come out of our homes and meet together. Now, there are some folks who they don't go to church. They think, oh, well, you know, I can't really find a church that is suitable to me. They've all got this wrong with them and that wrong with them. And, well, that's true. No church is perfect because it is filled with imperfect people. And anyway, once we go to it, it's going to be imperfect, isn't it? But even in all our imperfections, God so wants us to meet together. Yes, that's what this word is, ekklesia. It's coming out of our homes to meet together. Now, of course, if someone is living in some isolated place and they can't get with other saints, well, yes, meet together as a family. Amen. But when we have saints around us, God wants us to meet with them. You see, we're with our family all throughout the week, but on one day a week at least, He longs for us to come together. We were talking last podcast about all the set times that God has given where He wants to gather us. He just loves gathering. Yes, we've got to get it, ladies. God loves the gathering of His people. I must mention a few scriptures again, but before I do, let's just go to the Lord's Prayer. I wonder if you've ever noticed this. We read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, and this is in the Sermon on the Mount, and the disciples asked Jesus if He would teach them how to pray, and He says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Do you notice how this prayer starts? It doesn't say, "Oh, my Father." No, "Our Father." Yes, even in our praying. In fact, it's great to pray personally, but God loves us to come together to pray. He loves the corporate prayers of His people. But even in our personal prayer, we're still praying "Our Father," because it's not only me and God, it is me and all God's people. "Our Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." We're not only praying for ourselves, "Oh God, please give me my daily bread." No, He wants us to see beyond ourselves, beyond just little me and how the world is revolving around me. No, it's "give us our daily bread." We're praying not only for ourselves, but for others and all the saints. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Do you see there, lovely ladies, that even the Lord's Prayer is a corporate prayer that includes all of us? Isn't that amazing? Yes, so let's just be reminded of scriptures you know so well. But let's look at them again and see what they're really saying. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." That can also be translated, "Let us hold fast the confession of our faith." The word in the Greek is homologio, and it means to say the same thing that another is saying. In other words, to be in line with what God says, to be in line with what His word says, that is what I will confess. I'll hold fast to that confession no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody thinks. I will hold fast to my confession of the Word of God. "And let us consider one another Oh, do you notice that again? Let us. Us, plural. Yes, God wants us to think in the plural of our being together with all the saints. And let us, not just me, consider one another. That word is also translated our mutual faith. It's a one another, not just me and God, but me and you and God. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling. Assembling. Yes, that's a word that means to get together. It's not isolated, it's assembling. And the word in the Hebrew is espisunagoge. I think I pronounced it correctly. Espisunagoge, something like that. But it means, it comes from the synagogue, and it means the place where they meet. A complete collection. That's interesting, isn't it? Not anybody left out. A complete collection. Everybody meeting. Especially a Christian meeting, assembling or gathering together. So, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Together. Doesn't mean isolated. Doesn't mean on your own. It means together with the other saints. As the manner of some is. But exhorting one another. And so much the more if you see the day approaching. We can't really get away from those words. And yet there are still those today who think they can just have me and God. And yes, I believe in God and I can just do it on my own. I don't need to be with others. Well, it's not only the fact that you actually do need to be with others. We do need one another because our faith is strengthened as we meet with one another. But also when you don't turn up and you are missing, you are depriving the other saints. You're depriving them of the blessing that you can give. You see, church, which is the people of God assembling, it's not just a building, it's the assembling of the people. It's not just coming to hear a message. Not just coming to worship, they're important parts, but it's coming to give. It's coming to just bring your presence. Did you know that even coming, just your presence, and especially when it's all your family, do you understand what that means? Your family added to the others brings more strength. It brings another more, just something more into that body. When you're missing, there's a weakening. When you come, there's more strengthening and it's more exciting. In fact, sometimes when we're meeting together, we're assembling together as the body of Christ, and I look around and I see those who are missing, my heart is so sad. I'm missing them. There's something missing. There's a weakness because they are not there. If only people could realize they are missed. And yes, there is such strengthening of the body when they come. There's more excitement, more strengthening, more building up, and more opportunity for the blessing of the Lord. Because as we each come with a smile on our face to give to everyone we see, and just a blessing and a word of cheer and encouragement, the more people who are doing this and giving it, the more the body is strengthened and built up. And that's God's heart. And that's what he longs for. So, just let's look at a few other scriptures. Acts chapter 2:42. And they continued steadfastly. This was the new converts. They'd all been saved, 3,000 of them. And they continued steadfastly in four things. Now, dear ones, this is the foundation of the church. This was the early church. This is the four things that they did and the four things that we should be continuing to do today. And what are they? Okay. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Firstly, the apostles' doctrine. That is the teaching from the elders of the church and the apostles. And how can we get that if we don't come? Okay. We think, oh, well, maybe I could just listen to a message on Zoom. So many began to do that when the pandemic came. But it is a counterfeit. Oh, yes, you can get a good message, that's true, but you're not assembling. You're not together. You're not doing what the word says. And there's something about being there. Oh, yes, because that's what God says anyway. I'm just trying to reiterate what God says in his word. Anyway, so we come, we hear the message, but that's not all. Oh, and fellowship. We can only have fellowship when we're together. You see, fellowship is togethering. Fellowship, it is part of church life. And I think that's why when the pandemic came, so many thought they could do just as well watching a Zoom meeting. But you see, they weren't having fellowship, and many people didn't miss it because their church doesn't have fellowship. They come, they worship, they hear a message, and they go home. But no, there has to be fellowship. And some way or another, at our church fellowship here, we have a fellowship meal every Sunday. Everybody brings a dish, and we all sit and eat together and fellowship. We can encourage one another, pray for one another, bless one another, find out where one another is in their lives. We can laugh with one another. Oh, it's one anothering. And one anothering is not some little thing you do if you want to. It is part of church life. In the New Testament, there are over 41 different one anothers that God has specifically given us to do to one another. We can't do it if we don't meet together. And then the apostles' doctrine. No, sorry, what am I saying? It's the next one is the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread. Well, yes, they had communion together, but many times in the early church, the communion was part of the fellowship meal. Breaking of bread can be just a meal, because that's how they ate. They would break the bread. It was a flat bread as they would dip it in the hummus, the baba ganoush, and whatever they were making. That's how they ate. And it was called the breaking of bread. And that also is fellowship and hospitality. And then prayers. Oh, yes, that's part of church life. And yet many people come to church. They hear the minister pray as he begins the message. So he prays at the end. Sometimes there's not much more than that. And yet prayers, that's a very big part of church life. That should be very much part of our meetings as we come together. And so we see that togethering with fellowship. Acts 20, verses 7 and 8. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Notice, they came together. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:23. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, it's talking about, he goes on to talk about what they were to do when they came together. And so in this just little sentence, we see the whole church. The word in the Greek is holos, H-O-L-O-S, and it means whole, all, complete, all together, every whit. In other words, God's desire and longing is that all his people in a community will come together, all of them, not one missing. I like every whit. That's real King James language, isn't it? I haven't checked any modern translations, but I like those words, every whit. They're used also in John 7:23 when Jesus said to the people, "Are you angry at me because I have made man every whit whole on the Sabbath day?" You see, Jesus didn't make him half whole, but he made him fully whole. And that's what the same concept God wants when we come together. He doesn't want half the people come together, or three quarters of the people, or even 99%. He wants all of them to come together. And so he says, when you all come together in one place. And so we just get, you know, the spirit of what it was like in the early church. The come together, the word there is sunakamai, and it means to convene, to accompany, to assemble with, to come together. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it, brethren, when ye come together? There it is again. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Philippians 1:27. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now that word in the Greek is sunathleo, and it means to wrestle in company with, to see jointly, to labor together, to strive together. It comes from the root word athleo, where we get athlete, meaning to contend in competitive games. And so the thought here is that we're not striving together on our own. No, well, we can't strive together on our own because we're not together. Well, striving on our own. We're not meant to strive on our own, dear ones. I need others. You need others. Our faith will become stronger as we fellowship with one another, and as we pray with one another, and as we strive together for the gospel with one another. There is so much more strength. And so I hope you're just getting the feel of it from the New Testament. But let's go back to the Old, shall we, where I found 14 different Hebrew words. I don't know whether I'll give them all to you, but I'll just talk about some thoughts from some of them so we can just get the feel of God's heart for us. And why am I saying all this to you as mothers? You're saying, oh, well, this is not a podcast about motherhood. Oh, yes, it is. Because, dear lovely wives and mothers, we are the heart of the home. We cause to make happen what should happen in our home. Unless we have God's heart, unless we understand the vision that God wants our family to join together with other families so we can strengthen the body of Christ, well, we're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. It's pretty hard for a husband to get it to happen if he doesn't have his wife with him, if she doesn't have the vision. Because think of even meeting, as we meet once a week, okay, maybe on Sabbath, if you're a Sabbath keeper, on Sunday, if you're a Sunday keeper, whatever day. It takes us, the mother of the home, the heart of the home, to get it together. We've got to think about it, not just, oh, help, Sunday, okay, no, we think about it the night before or even before that. And we're thinking about the family. All right, are the clothes all ready? Have we got all the clothes ready for Sunday? Or, you know, if children are looking for socks and this and that at the last minute on Sunday morning or Saturday morning, you know, you're not even going to get to church on time. Darling ladies, can we get God's heart? Can we go beyond just, okay, church, oh well, I guess we better go, and we just sort of get ready and go, and, you know, we haven't really got our heart in it. If our heart is in it, we'll be preparing the night before. We won't be staying up late watching some movie. No, we'll be preparing our hearts. We'll be preparing the household and what time we're going to get up and how we're going to have breakfast and make sure all clothes are ready and we're going to be able to get there in time because our heart beats like God's heart. And we want to do what God wants us to do, and that is to be a togethering people, to gather with the saints, to help build up the body, to help strengthen the body, to bring life and smiles and love and cheer and blessing to all the others who are there. And we're not going to be missing, because when you're missing, it brings a heartache for those who are waiting for you. It really does. And so, here we are. Okay. Old Testament words. Yes, there's many different words for assembly, congregation, convocation, together, gathering, fellowship. And anyway, here's one word. Yahad. Y-A-H-A-D. Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Dear ladies, oh, you know that scripture off by heart, I am sure. It's just a basic scripture, but how true. God wants us to exalt and worship his name together. Yes, we can do it personally. He wants us to come together to do it. But is our time going, girls? Oh dear. We'll continue next podcast, okay? The Lord bless you. Oh dear, precious Father, we love you. We love your word. Help us, dear Father, to let your word fill our hearts, Lord, that we will live by your word, not the way we want to live and what we think, but your word and your heart. And we'll get in sync with you. And Lord, we are seeing, we're only just looking at the very, very tip of the iceberg of what you talk about gathering together. Lord, there's so much more, and it's so much your heart. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all to be faithful, and you will help every precious wife and mother and family to be committed to the gathering of your people, to the assembling to your people with others, Lord. Oh, Lord God, you want us to join together with the other saints. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen.